O most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once more for the privilege of sitting down before you to hear your words preached, Lord of God. We thank you for the freedom that we have here in our nation, Lord, that we don't have to fear for our lives to exercise, Lord, our Christian faith. Thank you, Lord, O God, for the opportunity of coming together Sunday after Sunday, Lord, to have this wonderful fellowship as a church and to hear your words preached, Lord, O God. And so, Lord, Father, we ask that as we sit before you, Lord, to hear your words once more, please stir our hearts, Lord. Captivate us, Lord God. Give us hearts that are willing to receive your words. Not only receive, but also, Lord, to apply whatever commands and truths, Lord, in our lives, so that, Lord, our lives will become worthy of you. Because you are worthy. You did everything for us, O Lord. Lord, Holy Spirit, be our teacher this morning. Illumine our minds, Lord. Remove any obstacles, Lord, that will hinder us from understanding your will for us, Lord. O Lord, accomplish your purposes, Father, this morning. In our lives, Lord of God. Let your name be continually magnified, Lord of God, as we go down and delve in your truths, Lord of God. O Lord, unworthy as I am, Lord, only by your grace that I can stand before my brethren here. So I ask, Lord, for your anointing and help, Lord, so that I can deliver your truths and your message, Lord, this morning to your people. Lord, thank you so much. All these things we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our message for this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 22 to 24. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 24. And just like what Brother Mark exhorted earlier, this message is entitled Finishing Strong. Finishing Strong. My dear brethren, everyone is called to ministry. Amen po ba? Everyone is called to ministry. There is no exception. The moment we are saved in Christ, we are given a ministry to employ the spiritual gifts we received from God. The moment we got saved, we received spiritual gifts. Some receive one, some receive more than one. And the Lord expects us to employ these spiritual gifts in a ministry. We are called to ministry, mga kapatid. As Peter puts it in his first letter, chapter 4, verse 10. You can go there quickly. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Let me just read that. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Yes, mga kapatid, every believer, every Christian has received a gift from God. And one day, listen to this, we will give God an account of how well we use these gifts for His glory, for His purposes. Some of us are called to full-time ministry, like our pastors and some of our elders in the church. Some are called to become missionaries. Some are called to work in different ministries. Dito po sa church po natin, we have 18 ministries here. And others work as staff po ng church natin. Now, just to be clear, mga kapatid, the ministry that God gave to His children is not just a task or sphere of service confined within the four corners of a church. What I mean is that whatever the Lord asks us to do in life, mga kapatid, is a ministry. That's a ministry. So whether you're a housewife, a husband, a student, an employee, you must consider yourself as being in the ministry, mga kapatid. And seeing yourself in a ministry means that you are living your life for God's glory, faithfully doing His will so that your life becomes a bright billboard that points others to Him. You see, mga kapatid, this ministry that I am talking about was entrusted to us by God. God is the one who gave this to us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, this was clearly stated by Paul. Let me just read that. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So, we have a ministry, and this was entrusted to us by God. And the Lord, who gave this to us, expects us to fulfill our ministry and finish strong. It's like what Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:12. If you can go there in 1 Timothy 6:12. Ang sabi niya po doon, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Yes, mga kapatid, we are to fight the good fight of faith. And there is no other fight more noble, more honorable, more vital than fighting for the good fight of faith. And this means doing, fulfilling our ministry, mga kapatid. I met a brother who has always been joyful and vibrant in his service to the Lord. And I can honestly say that he is faithful and he is serving sacrificially. Our fellowship has always been pleasant. It is edifying as far as I'm concerned. I am blessed with his service. I am blessed with his testimony. Now, this brother is in a relationship and they both serve together in the church. But somehow, you know, their relationship seems to be a blessing to them and those who know them. But somehow, just about last year, their relationship had gone sour and eventually broken up. Now, with the unfavorable circumstances, this brother tightened up and was unable to trust the sovereignty of God. Doon po sa kanilang situation. He was devastated. He could not move on. He had stepped down from the ministry and started missing services. His joy and once vibrant demeanor have faded. I tried ministering to him through counseling, And every time I have an opportunity to keep in touch with Him, I bring Him to the truths of Scripture. You know, as I talk to Him, He agrees, He nods, smiles, and gives assurances that He's doing fine and that He will be back soon. Yet I could sense a joyless demeanor. One day I learned that He had already left the church. And nowhere to be found, except on Facebook posts of what he's doing. What a sad story, di ho ba, mga kapatid? After being exposed to God's truth for a long time and serving for the longest time, he quit and just threw everything out of the window. You see, this story is never unique. It is real and happens every too often. In our Christian experience, many professing believers are not finishing the ministry well. They're not finishing strong. Some had grown cold. Some stopped serving and some just quit and dissipated to oblivion. Wala na. Di mo na makita. Nanlamig na. Umalis na sa ministry. Nagpaalam na. This is too often, mga kapatid. We just had a brand new year. Okay? Early on, February. And it's always a blessed opportunity, mga kapatid, to assess where we are in our ministry that was entrusted to us. To do an honest inventory before God. Lord, where am I right now in my ministry to you? So it's a blessed opportunity, mga kapatid. And it's my prayer and exhortation. It's my prayer and exhortation this morning that each one of us may aspire before God to finish strong for the glory of our Lord who saved us from eternal peril and secured our future in His kingdom. That is my prayer this morning, mga kapatid. And so, let us draw inspiration from Paul, the great apostle who finished strong, who at the end of his life confidently said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. Sabi po ni Apostol Pablo diyan, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous God, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. So please open your Bible in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 24. I'll read. And now behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Praise God for the reading of His word, mga kapatid. Before we continue, let's just take a look at the brief background of our passage. Acts 20 finishes Paul's third missionary journey. He leaves Ephesus after 3 years and travels to Macedonia and Corinth. And threats from the Corinthian Jews send him and his team back to Macedonia and Troas. So in Troas, Paul gives a very long sermon and raises Eutychus from the dead after he falls, both asleep and out of a window. So, pag matulog po kayo sa sermon ko, yan, mangyari sa inyo yan. Okay? So, in Miletus, Paul meets the Ephesian elders. He reminds them to beware of false teachers and tells them he is going to be imprisoned and will not see them again. So, he meet po itong mga Ephesian elders na ito and remind them about false teachers and that he tells them that he's gonna be imprisoned and will not see him again. And because of this, there is this tearful farewell. Nag-iyakan po sila before he boards a ship to Judea. Yung ating pong text, mga kapatid, for this morning is a part of this false farewell letter to the elders of the Ephesian church, beginning from verse 17 up to verse 27. So he and his team leave Troas and sail to Miletus. This is south of Ephesus, where Paul requests the Ephesian elders to meet him. So he reminds them how he served with dedication and self-sacrifice, and he also relays this disturbing news. Ano po itong disturbing news na ito sa kanila? When he gets to Jerusalem, he will be imprisoned and they will never see him again. And then he challenged them. He challenged them to protect the church from false teachers and to emulate his humble service and leadership. Makikita po natin yan sa Acts 20, 28 to 35. Yes, mga kapatid, Paul wanted the Ephesian believers to finish strong and not to drop out of the race. So at this passage, he is sharing from his own life the premise of a ministry that runs strong until the end of life. Yan po yung ating background. So let's now go to our message. To finish strong, mga kapatid, first is know that you are enlisted, you are called, you are drafted. Sa ibang, sa ang sinonym po ng enlisted, this is talking about an army, in an army, di ba? Conscripted. Okay? And not a volunteer. Makikita po natin sa verse 22 to 23. And then second, because you are called, because you are drafted, because you are enlisted, it is imperative that you must sign up with your very own life. We will see that in first part of verse 24. And then, you must be faithful for the gospel of the grace of God. So let's go to our first premise. Know that you are enlisted. So basahin po natin ang verse 22. And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions awaits me. Here, mga kapatid, Paul is saying that he is bound by the Spirit on his way to Jerusalem. Bounds means constrained, which is from the Greek root word deo, which means to bind or fasten with chains. In a metaphorical sense, it means to be attached to or under obligation of something or to someone, mga kapatid. So here, Paul is bound by the Spirit's leading as he will be by the chains the Romans will fasten to him. Mga kapatid, the Holy Spirit has chosen what Paul will experience, and he walks into it willingly, despite the protests of his friends and his team. Why? Because bonds and afflictions await him under the hands of Jews who follow the Mosaic law faithfully and legalistically. You see, before he got converted, he was like them. Ito pong mga Jews na ito who follows the Mosaic law faithfully and legalistically. He is the one of the persecutor of the church. He used to be like them before his conversion, before his call to be an apostle to the Gentile. And at this point, Paul is telling these elders of the Ephesian church that he will face the same affliction brought about by the persecution because they of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 18 of chapter 20, he wants to get to Jerusalem by Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit has been warning him his trip will not be pleasant. He doesn't know the details except that he will be imprisoned. He will be afflicted. And, you know, God has promised this faith to him as early as Acts 9 when he met Jesus Christ on the Roman road. By Luke's account, in the following chapters, Paul will be falsely accused by Jews from almost every province of Asia. He was beaten, he was arrested, barely escaped flogging and assassination, and ended up being imprisoned for 2 years. He will be shipwrecked in a harrowing sea voyage, end up on a tiny island, and be bitten by a viper. So the prospect of his hardships for his ministry is beyond words, as solemnly testified by no other than the Holy Spirit himself. Yet, mga kapatid, this did not deter Paul. He could have turned around and chosen an easier course. Diba? Hirap na. Holy Spirit na yung nagsasabi. Right? But you see, this did not deter Paul. Why? Because he considered himself as someone enlisted to fight in God's army and not a part-time volunteer for the job. Paul saw himself as a soldier under the command of his risen Lord. That is his immovable perspective. We see this in Acts 21:13. Sabi niya po doon sa kanyang mga kausap, "What are you doing? Weeping and breaking my heart?" As he talks to these Ephesian elders. Sabi niya po, "For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." This is his immovable perspective sa kanya pong panawagan, mga kapatid. Paul was under orders, and because of that, he sought to obey what he believed that the Holy Spirit was commanding him to do. He goes willingly because he knows, mga kapatid, that even in his weakness, even in his hardship, there is an opportunity for Jesus to display his strength, his glory, so that others may have life through the gospel. Yan po yung kanyang resolve, mga kapatid. So by now, as you listen to me, we should have already acknowledged that we are not volunteers in the ministry that was entrusted to us. Who can opt not to serve or to quit serving if the service is not to our liking? We are not volunteers, mga kapatid. No, we are enlisted soldiers of Christ who are drafted into His army with no options but to serve. We were chosen to serve. Amen po ba? Your situation may be difficult right now in your ministry, in your life. Maybe unpleasant, maybe challenging, maybe even uphill. Your assignment right now may be even unfavorable to you. But you serve anyway because you are under God's order. If you are a believer, my dear brethren, my dear brother, my dear sister, you have been bought with a price by the very life of the Son of the Living God. And because of that, you now belong to God. If you go to 1 Corinthians 6:20, ang sabi po ni Pablo doon, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Yes, my dear brethren, to finish strong, we need to see ourselves. We need to acknowledge that we are called, we are drafted, we are enlisted to fight in God's army, not volunteers. Amen po ba? Kasi if you consider yourself volunteers, you will just quit when the times are not beneficial to you or hard for you. So we are not volunteers. Sino po dito volunteers? Can you raise your hands? Wala, di ba? Siyempre hindi kayo tataas. Let's go to our second point, mga kapatid. And because God has called you, God has drafted you, God has chosen you, it is therefore imperative, mga kapatid, that you sign up with your life. Sign up with your very own life. Sabi po ni Pablo diyan, "For I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus." Mga kapatid, at this point, Paul thought of himself as an accountant. He is weighing carefully the credits and the expenses of his journey. And in the end, he does not count his own life dear to him compared to his God and how he can serve him. Here we see Paul's wholehearted commitment to God's ministry. Yes, my dear brethren, he signed up with his very own life. Because he believes that his obedience will result in a lasting reward. And what is that, mga kapatid? The salvation of others. He knows his life is fragile. And he's already been stoned once in Acts 14:9. But he dedicates that fragility to show others Jesus. Later on, he will tell his dear friend Timothy that he is a drink offering poured out for others in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If following Christ meant hardship, slander, imprisonment, or death, Paul had settled this issue long ago before his God. It is an obedient resolve to follow what Jesus commanded to his disciples in Mark 8:34 to 35. Sabi po ng ating Panginoon, he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Yes, my dear brethren, Paul was willing to die for the Savior who had died for him so he could be saved. He gave up any right of his own to serve Jesus. You see, this is a radical resolve, mga kapatid. A self-denial that means hardship. It could mean affliction even to the point of death to fulfill the ministry that was entrusted to Paul. You see, mga kapatid, this is my exhortation po sa atin. Everyone who is a true follower of Christ is called to this all-out, lay down your life commitment. Let me just repeat that. Everyone who is a true follower of Christ is called to this all-out, lay down your life commitment. Of course, mga kapatid, not every one of us will be tortured nor martyred. But the scripture is clear. For instance, in 1 Timothy 3:12, Paul said, "Indeed, who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted." Same is true in Acts 4:22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, "Though many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." Christian life is not easy, di ho ba? Brethren, when Paul entrusted his life fully to Christ, he doesn't need to live in fear of the future. Why? Because his future is in the hands of his faithful Savior. So, like Paul, mga kapatid, like Paul, we should live each day fully committed to the ministry that was entrusted to us, knowing that even in the face of trials, his grace is sufficient for us to endure, to persevere, and to finish strong. Amen po ba? You see, in God's economy, my dear brethren, trials, hardships, and afflictions have divine purposes. They are designed for our sanctification. You see, it's a common theme in the Bible used by God as a tool to refine and to purify us, to discipline us, to correct us, to drive us to total dependence upon Him, to test and strengthen our faith, the faith that necessitates us to become citizens of heaven. So every now and then, He will allow trials and difficulties in our lives to purify that faith. To make us more like Christ, and to comfort us, and to empathize with us, mga kapatid. Yan po ang mga divine purposes ng trial sa buhay po natin. To help us have this resolve to live in the light of eternity and not for the fleeting things of this present life. Therefore, mga kapatid, we are to be abandoned to Christ here and now, forsaking the life of ease and comfort, trusting Him in every situation, in every circumstance and affairs of our lives. My dear brethren, just like Paul, our ministry is divinely appointed by God. We receive it from Him, and it entails the idea of stewardship, of accountability to Him, mga kapatid. And to finish strong in the ministry, we must dedicate our lives to Him, to His cause, even in the face of difficulty as we follow Him. And then lastly, mga kapatid, we must be faithful to the gospel of grace of God. And second part, 24, verse 24, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. You see, mga kapatid, the ministry Jesus gave Paul was to bring Jesus' offering of forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God to the Gentiles, kings, rulers, and the Jews. And this is the gospel. The good news of the grace of God offers sinners. Jesus came, took accountability for our sins, died in our place, and rose glorified so that we too may be resurrected, glorified, and cleansed for our sins. This gospel is the power of God unto our salvation, mga kapatid. Right now, we stand before God, justified, no longer His enemies, but treated as co-heirs of His own Son, assured of heaven to live forever in His kingdom. And to Paul, mga kapatid, his life is nothing compared to the mission of sharing this message of unimaginable grace. Tayo naman kaaway ng Diyos dati. Ngayon ay Kanya ng mga anak. This is the gospel. This is unimaginable grace, mga kapatid. And to Paul, nothing compares to that. Paul lived and died for the testimony and preaching of the gospel. He faithfully testified, both with his personal experience and authoritative proclamation. Kaya nga po, sabi niya sa Philippians, listen to this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 to 24. Sabi niya po doon, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. I do not know which to choose, but I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, so that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sakes. Of course, mga kapatid, not everyone is called to be a preacher or missionary like Paul. But with whatever gifts, mga kapatid, God has entrusted to us, the bottom line is the same. We must be faithful in our lives, in our words, to the gospel of the grace of God. Can we identify with Paul? That we are living lives so dedicated to the gospel that we are willing, even willing, to remain in this world if it's possible, diba? because of how significant and fruitful our tasks for the gospel are. Because our lives have become such a benefit for the sake of others, it's more necessary that we live than to be with Him in heaven. Yan po yung resolve ni Paul. Your life, mga kapatid, as God gives you, gives opportunity, your words must bear witness to the gospel of God's grace. Our lives and words must bear witness to the Lordship of Jesus if we want to hear well done when we cross finally the finish line. So, mga kapatid, keep your eye on that goal to bear witness to the gospel of God's grace and the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mga kapatid, as I end, you see, Paul's ultimate goal in ministry was to glorify God and to build up the church. In Colossians 1, 28 to 29, he writes, "We proclaim, admonishing, and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving with all His energy working powerfully in me." Mga kapatid, as Paul reflects in his life, it reveals to us a deep commitment for the spiritual growth and for the maturity of the believers, driven by the energy and power of Christ working to him. And he did all this, mga kapatid, he did all this with the premise that he considered himself as someone enlisted by God, not a volunteer. And because of that, he signed up with his very own life to the ministry that was entrusted to him. And he lived and died for the gospel of God's grace. Yes, my dear brethren, Paul indeed finished strong in the ministry that was entrusted to him. As he neared the end of his life, he reflected on his ministry with a sense of fulfillment and anticipation. Before he was executed, he wrote this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:7-8. "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness is laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who love his appearing." You see, these words to Timothy encapsulate Paul's enduring faith and hope in the promises of God as he looked forward to the eternal reward awaiting him in all believers. You see, my dear brethren, listen to this. When God saved us, He removed all obstacles for us not to finish strong in our ministry. He removed every excuses that we can think of not to finish strong in our ministry. Why? Because you see, we are fighting no longer for victory, but from the victory of our Christ who triumphs over death,
who triumphs over sin, who triumphs over our arch enemy, on our behalf, so that we can be God's rightful children, created and saved for His glory and for His purposes. He promised never to leave nor forsake us in this life. He provided ways and means, mga kapatid, so that we can finish strong, so that we have no excuse, mga kapatid. He gives us His word. We are in a church, and we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us, who enables us to go further, to continue, even though it's difficult and tiring, mga kapatid. Therefore, mga kapatid, let us maximize the remaining time we have while it is yet day. Think of your ministry while it is yet day, to cultivate faithfulness, perseverance, and diligence, because one day we will give an account before God. Of course, everything is by God's grace, so that we can finish the ministry well that was entrusted to us. You see, our goal is this. At the end of our course is to hear. This is our goal. And this should be our goal, mga kapatid. Our goal is to hear our precious Lord say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen po ba? Before we end in prayer, can I ask
praise God, that we are worshiping the God who is holy, no other name but our Savior.
Upon His name there is no other name, the one who is eternally the same. There is no other name. First and last, beginning and the end. He was the King who made the common man His friend. There is no other name.
Let every tongue.
Let every tongue proclaim and sing the name of Jesus.
Magnify
and praise the name of Jesus. No other name but Jesus. There is power in the precious name of Jesus. Jesus,
Messiah.
Messiah, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Serving our Creator.
He created all there is with His own hands. And yet the smallest need He understands. There is no other name.
The great I am.
The one who said, "I am the great I am." Himself a sacrifice for men. There is no other name.
Let every tongue.
Let every tongue proclaim and sing the name of Jesus.
Church, magnify.
Magnify and praise the name of Jesus. No other name precious name of Jesus. Jesus, forever He shall reign as King of kings, Lord of all and every living thing. From now on we'll worship Him and praise the name.
We who deserve your wrath, Lord of God, sinners and rebels before you, Lord. But thank you, Lord of God, because you took pity on us and you sent your Son to become like us, to become our representative, and one day died on the cross so that He could save us and live again to secure our future. Now we stand before you, justified, righteous, Lord, co-heirs of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord of God, for your mercy, for your goodness to us, Lord of God. And so right now, Lord, thank you for allowing us to hear your word, that indeed, Lord, we have been bought with a price. And because of that, you expect us, Lord of God, us, your people, to fulfill our ministry and to finish it strong for your glory, Lord of God. We know it's going to be difficult because of our enemy, because of the challenges that we have, because of the frailty of our human frame, Lord of God. But Lord, you have enabled us. We are now indwelled by no other than the Holy Spirit Himself. Oh Lord, you have removed every excuse from us not to live this life worthy of you, Lord of God. So help us now, Lord, to make a resolve to finish strong for your glory, Lord of God. To consider ourselves as called, enlisted to fight in your army, and to sign up with our lives, Lord of God, and to be faithful for the cause of the gospel in our life and in our words, Lord of God. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much, Lord of God. Hallelujah. So burn this message upon our hearts, Lord of God. Allow us to contemplate on these truths, Lord of God, in our lives, Lord of God. Lord, we ask that you accomplish your purposes, Father, in the preaching of your words this morning, Lord of God. Lord, as we give our tithes and offerings this morning, Lord of God, also in our giving, we ask that your name will also be magnified and glorified, Lord of God. Thank you for the hearts of your people whom you have stirred, Lord, to continue to give, Lord, for your cause, Lord of God, for the advancement of your purposes and the gospel, Lord, where you have called our church, Lord of God. Thank you so much, Lord of God. As we depart from this place, Lord, bless each one with a special blessing, Lord of God. Thank you so much. We ask for your protection and blessing. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Salamat po.